Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Paul Segretto, Franchise Today, along with my ever-loving co-host, Joel LaBava, from the great city of Cleveland, Ohio, the home to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the rock group ABBA. Joel, how are you?
Joel, are you there? Joel, are you there?
Yes.
Joel, you're there. There you are.
Dude, I have a weird question for you.
What's that?
Where were you, dude? Where were you for our little three-minute secret talk?
I'm trying to get into Blog Talk Radio, and it keeps saying your host pin is not correct.
Well, what's
your
the
host
pin? What's the pin?
Correct. And yet I'm putting in the damn one that's on the screen.
Well, what's the pin? Tell everybody.
The pin. I don't tell everybody.
Quit being a pinhead.
Hey, there you go, being a pinhead. How are you today, Joel?
I'm okay. I'm still really, really depressed about this ABBA being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't remember one song that they've ever done that could even be a cousin.
Yes,
rock
you
and
did.
Roll.
Dancing Queen. Dancing Queen.
Yep. That's rock and roll?
I don't know if it's rock and roll.
All right, well, you know, it's wrong. That's all I have to say.
It's
nothing
wrong.
Against the Little Blondies, but it's wrong.
There you go. Well, we got a lot of things to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about social media within franchising.
Are you rushing me?
Am I rushing you?
Were you
I'm
just
not
rushing me?
I'm Italian, not Russian.
I'm Russian, actually. Go ahead.
Anyway, what's going on in the blog world, Joel?
Nothing at all. There's nothing going on. The holidays are getting close to being upon us. No, actually, there's a couple things going on over at alltop.com. If you hit the franchising section, you will see the best of the best when it comes to blogs up there. And over at Franchise Direct, our friends from the UK, Donald Cranford wrote about drive-thrus and if they could be in trouble because of the greening of our world. He wrote that over in Copenhagen, delegates from around the world are meeting to hopefully iron out an agreement that will seek to control international carbon dioxide emissions for the next generation. So basically, if you happen to choose a Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, or Sonic drive-thru that happens to have some slower-moving employees, you are emitting exhaust fumes laced not only with carbon dioxide, but with carbon monoxide. And I believe when I was in my chemistry class, there was a bunch of other crap that was emitted from there. Anyway, you really are, all kidding aside, when you're sitting there idling, waiting in line, you are polluting. So, is the drive-thru...
So what else happens when you're sitting in line in the drive-thru, Joel?
Well, no, please, tell me.
You get hungrier.
Yeah, that's true. I thought it was going to be something funny. I thought it was like an old joke from way back when in New York or something.
No, and you talk about, you know, franchising and being able to replicate systems and stuff, especially as people say, oh, you know, I'll go overseas with my concept. You know, they're having a big issue with drive-thrus in China right now. McDonald's had drive-thrus, and the people didn't understand. They don't understand drive-thrus, and some of them were actually buying their food, paying for it at the drive-thru, moving down the drive-thru lane, parking in the parking lot, and then taking their food and walking back in the restaurant to eat it.
Come on.
Yeah, so they've actually had to educate the Chinese patrons into what the drive-thru is about and that you take your food and you go someplace else. And if you want to come inside, then you park your car and come inside. Yeah, there was a thing on CNBC, I believe, about McDonald's and its international growth, and it was pretty interesting, actually.
You know, that's interesting. In South Euclid, Ohio, where I went to Brush High School, we used to go to lunch at McDonald's, and I never understood why, but we went through the drive-thru, and then we would go try to park our cars in the McDonald's lot and actually eat there, because who wanted to eat in the high school parking lot? We would eat there right in front of signs that said, "No eating in cars, South Euclid ordinance." What?
Really? What? It was an ordinance not
yes.
to eat in cars?
You could not eat in cars in the McDonald's parking lot. Talk about, and that was in the mid-70s, talk
wow.
about Big Brother watching you. Big
Well, you know, along the lines of talking cars, I know Dr. Phil yesterday did a big thing on his show about texting while driving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we all know about drinking and driving and now texting and driving. But, you know, eating and driving has got to be probably the most distracting thing because there aren't many foods that are good for eating. I mean, personally, the Big Mac is a terrible choice to eat. While you're driving, the quarter pounder with cheese, because it's all stuck together, is probably pretty good. But there's very few foods out there that, you know, can be eaten very easily while they're driving. So
I beg to differ.
Yeah.
I do?
What's easy to eat while you're driving?
Lo mein is always a very easy one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Right?
Singapore
noodles.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, lo mein. You just slurp it down, dude.
Actually, soup is pretty good.
Well, actually, if you and I keep eating the way we're eating, there's always some nice milkshakes with protein and, you know, the weight loss ones. What are they called?
Blah, blah. You mean like smoothies and stuff?
Yeah, no, but the ones you buy in those cans, you shake them up and then you drink them.
Fast. The one that just
had
multi-million recall. They recalled every bit of Slim Fast liquid product.
Oh, maybe that's what explained yesterday morning. Oh, really? Anyway, those are very easy to drink and eat, though, while you're driving.
You know, Joe, what would be funny is you and I sitting in one of those smart cars going through a drive-thru.
You know what I call those things?
What?
Dumb cars.
I actually think if I have – never mind. I won't go the way.
Yeah.
It's a little too gross. Anyway.
I bet you and I could probably throw one across the hall.
If we had some gas inside the car after eating, we'd probably blow out the windows.
I have a feeling that wouldn't be a problem with us. I haven't met you in person, but I just have a strange feeling.
You have a strange feeling, huh? Okay. What else is going on in the blogging world?
Oh, man, it's a gas, isn't it? DailyFranchiseNews.com, the gals. God, why do I give PR agencies a plug? Aren't they supposed to give me a plug? I don't understand this. Anyway, DailyFranchiseNews.com is the Sanderson PR blog. And one of very few new franchise concepts that I like, because Paul knows how skeptical I am, I'm kind of a bit of a negative Nan at first when I hear of a new franchise concept. This one, though, got me. AmRamp, which is the franchise that makes the – and they actually are portable ramps – has hooked up with HomeWatch caregivers, and they've created something called HomeNest. And this is, I like this. This is a franchisor that gets it, and I'm going to have a conversation with him because I want to see if I can maybe help him find some franchise owners. But anyway, think about it. Not only are they going to install the ramp for you, but they're going to provide everything, all the care that you need. So it's not just, here's the ramp, go have fun. We're talking administering medications, preparing meals, assisting with grooming and other daily tasks. You know, senior care. I think it's a smart one. You know, if folks are at the point where they're going to need a ramp, they're probably getting close to the point where they're going to need some assistance. And I think it's freaking brilliant. I mean, I really do. I like the way that this franchisor thinks, and I'm definitely going to have a conversation. What about you? What do you think of this?
I think it's an interesting concept. I think a lot of what's going on in healthcare and senior care franchising is really kicking off. I think it's a given, and I think there'll be some consolidation in some of the concepts, because there's just going to be so many out there, and there's going to be a lot of overlapping. But I think it's a good segment. It sounds like a good concept.
Yeah, it's interesting. So those are the two tidbits I found. What have you seen on the internet or on the blogs in the past couple of days?
You know, as you said, it's slowed down some. I haven't seen a lot that's out there, anything that really shines through. I've been spending a lot of time of late talking to you know, different people about franchise success and, you know, franchise failure, and I've got a couple of blogs on there. You've got a couple of interesting ones on there if you'd like to tell us about. about the outlook for franchising in 2010. I know you got one on there yesterday about the outlook being fairly upbeat, and also Matt Shea, the president of the IFA's interview on CNBC. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that the entire industry, whether or not they're members of the IFA or not, know about kind of what's going on. The IFA does do some good stuff, and they have a pretty strong team of accountants that help them do some projections. And I always say they're just projections because you and I are actually the only people that have real live crystal balls, but a few billion dollars in small business loans obviously would increase the projections a lot. But growth is supposed to be around 2 or 3% in new franchise sales in units for next year. That's pretty much flat if you take a 2% either side of that margin of error, as they would say on MSNBC. But, I personally think that it's going to be about the same as this year was, which was average at best in most cases. But there are franchisors that have been busy. You and I actually were able to participate in the webinar yesterday that the IFA put together, and we each got to ask a question or two. And I had asked Matt, as a matter of fact, why the two words startup have not been really mentioned a lot by the president or by any of the senators or congresspeople or even the SBA. It's always just small business loans in general. Seems to be leaning towards small business expansion, folks that are already in business that want to expand so they can actually help with unemployment and hire. And I questioned Matt on the fact that the startup franchise business needs some help too, because we do create jobs. And he obviously is aware of that. And he said that the administration is quite aware of that. But I'd like to hear the word startup thrown about a little more. So that's why I wrote that post. And also to get things a little more or livened up. What about you? What did you ask, Matt?
I asked a question. Matt made a point that now more than ever, franchisors will be earning their royalties.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, we know they've been earning them all along, but I think the point is that more than ever, franchisees are really going to be looking for and requiring support. And to that end, I asked a question because I saw that the IFA in their strategic plan talked about three issues and for their future, and you know, development, government relations, membership, etc. And there was no mention of training. And Matt did say that the IFA will continue training for new franchisors and had some programs coming down the pipe, etc., etc. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more focus within the strategic plan for training and support mechanisms and how to convey that over to franchisors so that they will be a little bit more knowledgeable about it as they need to and as they are required to provide support to the franchisees, because any franchisee that goes out of business is it's a shame. It's a sin. It's, it's life savings. It's a ripple effect. And I understand that there are some that are going to go out, but if we can prevent even just one by fortifying our support mechanisms and our training, I believe we're going to go a long way. And of course, that's part of that entire cycle of why we have bad loans that are out there and bad paper on the books, et cetera. We've got to stop that, and we've got to do everything we can as an industry to minimize franchise failure so that once we recover from this economic mess, we don't wind up back in it because there is bad paper out in the on the bank's books again.
That's true. That's true. It's got to be done right, and I hope the franchisors don't start getting into the business of being the banks, because it'll be too much of a headache, and it's one of those things 2-3 years from now it's going to catch up with them. So hopefully the small business lenders will just do something interesting and lend.
Right. Well, maybe what Obama should do is give a small business, give franchising a $5 billion bailout, give the money to the SBA, and let them use it for startup loans.
$5 billion? I think you're a little light.
Hey, $5 billion is better than no billion. All right, make it 10.
Yeah, why not? We're just printing it anyway.
Yeah, we're just printing it. I mean, what is that? Would just take our debt to the Chinese up to about $1.2 trillion. So what's a couple of billion?
Absolutely.
I got to, you know, what would be bailouts and billions of dollars?
I have an idea. You know, you were mentioning about the drive-through problems that they were having in China. Why couldn't we set up a training program and have China pay us for it?
There you go. But, you know, we talked last week about, you know, the banks holding on to that TARP money and then just turning around and paying us and holding on to the interest. Now, I've got a question, you know, and I noticed that some of the bailout industries have been paying money back. And we're talking sizable funds, sizable amounts here, you know, $5 billion, $10 billion, $6 billion, $8 billion, $14 billion. You know, it was only a year ago these bailout funds were given. Are these industries really hurting? Because my question is, how could they afford to be paying back so many billions so quick? Are they taking it away from other expenses? Hmm. Have they cut costs so much that they can now afford to? Are their profits so high that billions in repayment are not an issue?
You know what?
Something's missing in this puzzle.
The numbers are so, I mean, I can't comprehend them. So I don't really know. I mean, you know, we can throw around billions and millions and talk about all these fantastic, huge figures, but who knows what they really mean? I have no idea how they're paying them back so fast. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's the credit card fees that are all adding up, and maybe the fact that they're paying, you know, 0.50 in interest to folks like us that have little savings accounts that we want liquid and safe. Maybe that's part of it.
Maybe. Or maybe we've just given them subsequent bailouts, and they're using that subsequent bailout to pay the first part of the bailout.
Maybe we're just suckers. We're just suckers, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, we've got a job to do, and we've got to provide information to the franchise community. Well, I don't think it's a job because we're not getting paid for it, right? So
we're not.
Nonprofit.
Wait a second. We're not?
Well, not getting paid for the radio show.
You told me I was going to be paid to be a co-host.
Yeah, I did. That was the only way I could get you on the show.
Okay, so I've been on the show for like a couple months, and okay, so it's Hanukkah for me, dude, so where's my gift?
I don't know what to tell you there.
Story
of
my life.
It's Christmas season for us. Kwanzaa's celebrated by some. I mean, you know, hey, it's all relevant, right?
Typical New Yorker. All talk. Okay, go ahead.
All talk. Let's talk about, do you have anything else in the blogging world? We're done with the blogging world?
Yes, we're done. Nothing interesting at all. No, there's a lot of cool stuff out there. Just, go to alltop.com and go to Google and use all the stuff you do and find small business articles.
Sounds great. Let's talk a little bit about social media and franchising because I'm seeing more and more franchise companies starting to embrace social media. And I'd like to ask you a question because I still don't get this. Twitter lists.
Yes.
Okay. I notice you have one there, Franchise King, Classy Franchise Folks.
Yes.
You have 25 people following. You have 12 followers.
Right. That's huge. Just massive.
It's massive. But when I look at the other lists, I really don't see a lot.
Yeah.
What do you think about Twitter lists? Are they beneficial? How can they be used to be beneficial?
Well, one of my New Year's resolutions is to not.
Did you say resolution and not revolution?
Well, it's actually both, but I'm going to try not to sign in and jump in on everything just because it's been mentioned or thrown my way. Twitter lists. Okay, I better get a couple. Okay, so I did it. Now what? Like, I have time to focus on Twitter lists. I don't know what they're going to do. I would imagine that maybe a month from now, someone will follow me that wasn't following me. I'll find out about it, and we'll follow each other and maybe create something together. You know, I really, it's a great question. I would imagine that the people that only put 100% of their time into social media can answer that one better. And I'm sure that people like Darren in Australia are using their Twitter list the right way. I just am adding it to my arsenal. That's all I can tell you. Over at, and speaking of this, and this is why I brought that up, because over at Small Business Trends, the one of the posts was about a new, I don't know if you saw this, it's a new URL shortener from Google that is going to supposedly just kill all the other little shorteners. And it's supposedly better. And you know what? I said to myself, and I commented that, you know what? I'm not going to try it. I don't care. The stuff that I have works. So I'm really, really going to try to not spend a lot of time trying every new supposed tool out there that will save me time and help me become more efficient, because all it's doing is sucking my time when I'm signing in and signing on. And, you know, anyway, aren't you glad you asked?
Yeah, I am. I like some of the tools that are out there. I mean, tiny URL, it's like, how many do we need now?
Right.
If they're going to take it to an even shorter URL than that's already being out there, well, then I'll use that in lieu of something else. But I don't think I'll have links to three or four different tiny URLs. And,
right.
And decide which one I want to go to. Yeah, there's a lot of redundancy there, and there's a lot of new stuff coming out that's untried yet, and the jury is still out. And again, you know, some of that is redundant, and I think it'll all shake out, and there'll be one or two tiny URLs. I use tiny URLs. Some people use others. I don't see a difference. I don't see a difference. I use tiny URL, and I like promoting tiny URL because it says what it is. It's a tiny URL.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, anyway, you know, along the lines of Twitter, I've seen a lot of growth within franchising on Twitter. You know, I have a social media success program out there where I'm working with some franchisors right now. It's a 90-day program that I use. I've gotten a lot of response and a lot of interest in that program. And unlike 6 months ago, where a lot of franchisors were saying, you know, just do my social networking stuff, just do my social media stuff. I mean, I really don't care, I just need to get it done. Now that's changing a little bit. They're more apt to want to educate their people, and they're starting. And I use this word very loosely, Joel. They're starting to commit resources towards social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I say starting because I think a lot of them really still don't get it completely. They're probably looking at it more as a necessary evil because everybody's out there and I've got to be there as opposed to this can be used within my marketing plan and within my communication strategy. And I think that's the key. And I got to say, I fell into that myself where I thought, you know, social media can be used specifically for one type of, one part of franchising, like franchise sales. I still believe it can, in the white paper that I put out, franchise development through social media, I think if it was followed to a T, could work and would work. The problem is it's so comprehensive and it's so cumbersome, I don't see anybody wanting to or anybody dedicating the time and being that diligent to follow it all the way through. So the more effective way that's being used right now is integrating social media, and I think that's a key word there, is integrating it with all your other marketing and communications, and it's just one part of it that enhances it and is used to make some of the other marketing methods a little bit more effective. And again, we talk about the direct mail coupons that some franchisees, that a lot of franchisees use,
and, you know, people get it and they use it or they throw it away or they save it and eventually throw it away. And not to have, you know, the Twitter logo on there and your and their URL to their Twitter account or to their Facebook fan page, it's ludicrous not having it on there because you have a chance of retaining that customer even after the coupon is either used or thrown away, because chances are if they are on social media, more people nowadays than ever are on social media, they look at it and they join the Facebook fan page and you can go ahead and put your coupons out through there. So I think the key is there is integrating it, using it, and dedicating the resources and having a full understanding in order to use it effectively. And, you know, that's something we promote through eIdea, which is exploring, developing, executing. Actually, it's exploring, identifying, developing, executing, and analyzing social media and all the different aspects of it, not just getting on a keyboard and punching in a bunch of things and saying, yeah, I had French toast this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, last year after the IFA convention, when they got a big wave of people from the franchising community on Twitter, I mean, I know you remember this. I couldn't believe how many people that had no idea what they were doing, and I fell into that a little bit before that, were saying stuff like that. You know, had you know, cream of wheat for breakfast this morning, and I think I'll have a hamburger for lunch.
Yeah, oh boy. Oh boy.
Anyway, you know, as we're talking about Twitter, you know, and it is the holiday season, and at least for us Catholics, we get into the commandments. You love when I bring up the commandments, don't you, Joe?
Yeah, here we go. Go ahead.
I have some commandments. Come on. I love this book, The Social Media Bible, Tactics, Tools, and Strategies for Business Success. And they got commandments at the end of every chapter. And when they talk about Twitter and microblogging, they have, let's see here, they have seven commandments. Can I share the seven commandments of
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, easy for me to say. For twitting. Thou shalt begin microblogging. Don't be afraid of micro. I can't even say the damn word.
You know what? It's God's way of saying don't read them.
All right, don't be afraid of tweeting. It's easy, it's free, and it's fun. It's a great way to stay in direct and immediate contact with whomever you choose, whether it's friends, family, club members, church groups, coworkers, prospects, or customers. The second one is, and I don't understand how this is the second one, when the first one it says, thou shalt begin, and it says, thou shalt tweet. Tweet, the technology isn't any good unless you use it. Duh.
Yeah.
It's only 140 characters and are easy to send as a text message. When you receive a relevant thought, text it out to your followers and remember to always have that what's in it for me content value. Thou shalt follow Twitterers. Are they tweeters or Twitterers? I call them tweeters. They call them Twitterers. Follow other Twitterers. Find people with similar interests. Thou shalt invite others to follow you. Do you invite others to follow you?
Well, what in what way do I invite them?
I don't know. You know, I think the best way is to, you know, follow them.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to invite somebody to follow you.
Actually, you know what? If I'm going back and forth with someone via email, I'll ask them if they're on Twitter, and then I'll give them my Twitter name's on my email signature anyway, but I'll make sure that we do follow each other.
Hey, talking about email signatures, I'll have to send you an email, and you need to look at the new information that I've got on my contact information.
Okay.
I signed up with a new online tool called .tel. .tel.
Yeah.
Dot is just a dot, and then T-E-L. And it basically is a virtual business card.
Virtual.
And that's all they have to do is click on it, and they've got all your information, your LinkedIn profile access, your Twitter access, Facebook access, website, phone number, fax number, cell phone, whatever you want to put on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a virtual business card and takes up less room in your email.
Is it a graphic?
No, it's not a graphic.
So
oh, it is. On mine, I said contact information, and it has the URL. You click on it, and it takes you right to this virtual business card.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
It's pretty interesting. I saw Catherine Harris over at OpenBook referred it to me the other day, and I fell in love with it. I thought there's so many different things that it can be used for. It's a great little, could be a great little CRM tool. And so anyway, I'm going to send you out one, Joel, so you can look at it. I know you're at a computer.
Okay. Yeah, send it out, man.
I'm sending it out to you without a subject, even though someone said you should send it with a subject.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's your way. Take a look at it. Let me know what you think.
Okay. You'll be the second one to know.
I'll be the second one to know.
Yeah, you don't want to know who the first one is.
Talking about people in the know or living things in the know, how's Winston the franchise dog?
Well, you know, actually, it's funny you ask me that. Because I've done the usual, even though I celebrate Hanukkah and my wife celebrates Christmas and Grace kind of celebrates both, every time around the holidays I do give him some jingle bells. And rumor has it that the Franchise King sometimes, if it's not too cold, Christmas Eve, will cruise around the neighborhood when he knows the kids are sleeping around here and walk by on the sidewalk with Winston jingling. And it
nice.
Does sound like Santa, so hopefully
nice.
I've made a difference as kids are dreaming of sugar plums next to their ears.
Yeah, you'll be
or something like that.
You would be shot in New York.
Yeah, well, you know, what can I tell you?
Joel, you know, it's funny. We've talked earlier on the show way
not
back.
Not today, though. We didn't talk
today.
Earlier anytime.
Back when.
You weren't there.
Talked about how social media has evolved just in terminology. A couple of years ago, you know, it was Web 2.0. It evolved into, are you involved in social networking to social media? Where is it going to go from here in 2010 beyond?
Well, I don't know. We've been talking since we've known each other. What it's going to be actually called by the end of next year, if it's going to be still called social media or not. So I think I think it's coming. I think something's going to change.
You know, I think it's really funny, neat, ironic, however you want to look at it, that we had all these different types of social media. And specifically, let's talk about the social networking aspect. You had MySpace and then Facebook and LinkedIn was in there and Twitter. And then, of course, up popped up, you know, Connects and Plaxo and Squidoo and all these others. But what's amazing is that they all started out separately, and now they're all starting to integrate together. And every day it seems like someone comes up with a new tool, a new application that, you know, you post here and it's going to pop up over here. You know, you post on LinkedIn and there it is on Twitter, and you post on Twitter and there it is on Facebook, and you post a video here and it pops up over there. And it's almost like AT&T. It's almost like the Bell telephone system was back in the 70s, and they had all these different small little telephone companies all merging in together, where AT&T became this big monopoly, and then the government says, no, got to break it apart, and it all got broken apart, and now they all sucked back in together. And I wonder if by the time this is all said and done, it's going to be all under one flag, and everything's going to be a part of it, and it's going to go round and round and round. It's amazing now, and I'm finding out by accident. Sometimes I'll post on something, I'll look at Twitter and say, wait, that's the same post. And, of course, it'll have a different tiny URL. And it's like, well, where'd that come from? And I didn't even sign up for it.
Really?
Yeah, it's some weird stuff going on. Some good stuff going on. I just hope that it doesn't kill the uniqueness because of stuff like Twitter, because I don't want to have my same message out there two or three times, but I do post it to a couple of different types of social media because I've got different audiences in both and different groups in both. But I don't want somebody looking at Twitter and saying, enough, I've already read that. You posted it three times.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know. It's all just really, really overwhelming, and it's really easy to get burned out. And social media has turned the small group of us that are really online all day, and it is a small group, it's turned us into scanners and not readers, and it's unfortunate. I think only the people that have always been analytical and all the people that have always had a lot of patience to begin with to sift through stuff are still reading through a lot of the stuff that's put out there, a lot of the posts and articles. Most of the people that I talk to are scanning, and I don't know what it's going to do to the youth of America because they're going to turn into scanners also.
Well, you know, I agree with you on the scanning part because – you posted a blog post the other day, and you made mention of me standing there in front of the blog, and you put something out on Twitter.
Putting in front of the cave, you mean?
On the cave, sorry.
Yeah, cave, blog, same thing. Yeah,
the cave, and I went and I looked at it, and I'm like, why is he, what is he referring to? And I read it, and I said, okay, I understand it. I agree with what you wrote. But why did you mention Paul Segreto in the Twitter post? So I went back and I said, all right, I'm going to have to read this word for word because knowing you, you probably got it linked behind the scenes or something double underlined that might go to something. And I looked at it and it was, of course, was the caption on the photo. But you're 100% right. I scanned and I went right by it.
Yep. You did. Well, maybe that's just because you don't care.
No, it's not that I don't care. I mean, you know, if anything, I'll tell you how much I care. I just want to know why you didn't put a link behind my name.
Oh, I didn't.
Ah.
Oh, that's because I let you do a guest post while you're out of town, and you never thanked me. And that's also because I linked you already this week. So you're done.
Okay.
See, I remember everything. Except
well, along the lines of social network, a lot of people in franchising ask me, you know, they said, look, you know, I got started with this. I don't know what I'm doing. And these are things that I'm pointing out that I'm seeing, and I'm seeing some people are coming to me and clients all share. You know, I understand, you know, people want to have different levels of activity within the different groups. I understand that. I respect that. But to me, LinkedIn is a great way of networking within a business community, within your own industry segment. And the goal of LinkedIn primarily is to connect with other people. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be it, especially.
The thing that I don't understand is that in order to connect with LinkedIn, you know, you ask somebody to be a friend. And I find so many people aren't involved in groups. And then I need their email address or I need information that I would already have if I'm connected with them that I don't have to connect. And therefore, then I can't connect. Yet, if they were in a group and I was in that same group, I could say I know them through the group and I would like to extend an invitation. It has amazed me within franchising, and this is more within franchising than other groups that I'm involved in, that 50% of the people that I find on LinkedIn that are within franchising are absolutely positively not involved in any groups whatsoever. Hey, if you want to go ahead and connect with people, join a few groups, look and see what's going on, participate. And you don't have to participate. So all you need to do is read it, and don't put a question out. Don't respond. But join some groups, and you'll get a lot more out of the experience.
You're right. Now, let me ask you something. you and I are both members of a lot of groups. Besides asking questions on LinkedIn, what else do you do in the groups that you choose to spend time with?
Well, I respond to some. I am very active in the Q&A forum that's outside the specific groups because I like seeing a cross-reference of information and responses. So I post a lot of questions there. I do routinely look at the jobs postings within the groups just to see who's out there, to see what talent is out there, who might be hiring. And it allows me to help other people within franchising if I see something that they haven't seen. I like looking at the news feeds that are in some of the groups because I pick up things that I'm not directly tied into.
Mm-hmm.
And I also use my groups a little differently, and I know I posted about this the other day. I'm a firm believer in the GE method. You know, and a lot of people that know General Electric know that they routinely look at the bottom 10% of their labor force and cut it and add back to the top of it, okay? And it has to do with performance. I look the same. I mean, the other day I had 48 groups that I was involved in LinkedIn. And if you look now, I have 31 because I looked at all my groups, and I said, what am I getting out of it?
Right.
What type of participation is out there? Am I the only one posting questions?
Which is why I asked you. Yep.
Right. Am I the only one? And I look at it, and I say, where am I getting value out of this, and where can I bring value? And so I routinely cut, and some people call me up and say, whoa, I own that group. How come you left? Well, because you're doing nothing to encourage activity within the group.
Right.
And I've done it to groups that are local. I've done it within franchising groups. And if there's no activity and no participation, I don't need to waste my time just to say I'm part of that group.
Okay.
So I routinely do it. Plus, I look at people that might be responding and participating a lot within a group, and I look at what other groups they're involved in.
Okay.
And then I look at those groups and I say, oh, well, maybe he's getting some from there, some information. Maybe I need to as well. And I've ventured into social media groups. I've ventured into marketing groups. I've ventured into a family group that talks about family businesses. It's opened up a whole new world.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious. Let me ask you something. I gave you one of my big New Year's resolutions. Do you have one for yourself for next year? How it relates to social media and all the crazy stuff we do all day?
Well, one of mine has to do with, you know, continuing to embrace technology. There's still a lot of it that I don't understand and is necessary to continue growing businesses. And although it's important for my own business, I want to be able to share it and educate franchise professionals in how to improve it as the internet continues to gain momentum in people looking at franchise opportunities, networking, etc. And I think the another thing is to continue to dedicate myself to franchise success at all levels. We are losing way too much talent out of franchising to other industries and other business models, and that has to stop. And those are two big parts of my goals for 2010.
Okay, good, good. Good to hear, man.
You know, talking about goals, talking about objectives, let's talk about commandments for social networking.
Okay.
All right? The Social Media Bible has four. Thou shalt create profiles and groups. You know, it's one of the things I tell people. Go on as many different groups as possible, even if it's just to establish a profile. Why? Because it really helps in your search engine optimization.
Okay.
Participate where you can, just like Joel and I were talking about, and I knew you were leading that way, Joel, that there are a lot of groups on LinkedIn where you just get to the point where you feel like you're the only one participating, right?
That's right.
And, you know, build your own network. Build your own brand. You know, do a Google search of your name. I mean, and I got to say this, Joel, and please, you know, if you're in a room in a house where, you know, you have just a regular door to get out of the room, you're not in the garage with the big double door, because after I say this, your head's going to get so big, you probably won't be able to get out the door.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Paul.
So it amazes me that if I mention Joel Labava's name or the Franchise King name in one of my blogs, that the traffic goes up by as much as 500% within the first 24 hours of doing so.
Really?
Yes.
You know, you shared that with me once, and I wonder... Okay, well, that's cool.
And if anybody is interested in really improving their traffic and their search engine optimization, and so Joel's the guy you need to be talking about in getting activity to your blogs.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know it.
I've learned from really, really smart people, and I've done it for, God, going on 6 years now. So I just, you know, it's nothing I ever thought of. But
well, whatever you're doing is working, and matter of fact, you know, you and I had talked about it. We need to be doing some webinars on some of this stuff about blogs, and because I think there's so many different people. I mean, you look at the statistics of the top social media sites. I mean, Blogger, 220 million people. WordPress, 114 million people. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people blogging these days, and a lot of people would like to. I mean, and if they're a little bit skittish about jumping into something as simple as LinkedIn, they're definitely going to be skittish about jumping into blogs, and I think more people need to learn how to do it. It's great. It's great for personal life. I mean, set up your own personal blog,
yeah,
your business blog, for your career. I mean, I set up one that I'm having a blast with, which is Imperfection. That's in my blog, and it's just stuff that I could rant and rave about.
And you do.
And I do. And it's a great way to vent. My wife always says, you know, you're yelling at the windshield, the people outside the car can't hear you. Well, you know what? Now people can hear me. They can go to my Imperfection blog, because as I'm going down the road and I get ticked off at somebody, I say, you know what? Now I got something to blog about.
Are you doing that one at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning?
Now, that's usually, yeah, I know. There's not enough hours in my day.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, Nick Powell's, I always get his name wrong. Is it Powell's? P-O-W-I-L-S. The great young social media PR expert. I believe he used to work at Fishman. He posted on Facebook the other day at 5 o'clock in the morning. He said... is it something to the effect of, is it weird or is it wrong that I am answering emails at 5 o'clock in the morning? And I responded to him and I said, well, it's 4 o'clock in the morning here and I'm reading your post.
So you're both sick.
I was sick an hour earlier though.
Yeah, that's true. For me, it depends on when Winston wakes me up. If he wakes me up at 5:30 in the morning, Winston's the dog, by the way. If he wakes me up real early, depending on the day, I usually stay up and jump online and try to get a couple things done. But I'll tell you, lately, I haven't been as much. I have to be careful. You know, too much of a good thing is too much of a good thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Let's talk a little bit about video.
Yeah.
Video, and that's when you asked me about my New Year's resolutions. It's to learn more about video.
Good.
I think video, you know, of course, you know, people that see and hear something are more apt to remember it than if they just read it, or if they just see it, or if they just hear it. And I think video technology is going to keep changing, and I think it's going to be great to get messages out there, and I intend on using video more and more. You've seen some of my stuff on
yep.
YouTube. You know, the only thing I don't like about video, Joel, I got to shave.
Yes, you do. You got to shave, and you have to, like, do your hair. And
I know. I mean, sometimes I just don't feel like doing that.
Dude, I know. I know.
So when you're involved in video, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. And there's some good commandments here about it. Thou shalt look at some of the most popular videos being shared. You know, and you go to YouTube and it shows you. Type in franchising and you'll see what a lot of people in the franchise community are doing, whether it be something from an educational aspect that they put out there for their franchisees, something about their franchise marketing, something that they want their customers to see about a new product. I mean, you know, I was reading a post on Facebook earlier, and it says, what are senior citizens doing today? And, you know, more senior citizens than ever are stuck on YouTube.
I know. It's weird.
Well, think about it. They have short attention spans, okay? They like watching TV. Hey, they could watch these 1 and 2 minute videos, and it could be whatever they want, whenever they want. They want to, you know, look at an old Coca-Cola commercial. They want to look at something from World War II. They want to look at something from the Civil War. Whatever it is, type it in. A video will pop out.
The Civil War?
All right. You know, so we're
is
not as
kind
old
of
as you.
President? Well, no, when you mentioned senior citizens on YouTube, I had this visual of a couple senior citizens dancing around to, like, Cashmere by Led Zeppelin or something. That's why I thought what you meant by senior citizens on YouTube.
No, I mean senior citizens, you know, looking at YouTube and exploring different things on YouTube. And of course, if you do use YouTube,
Oh, boy.
Well, I'll tell you
there
what.
There goes a neighborhood.
That must have been too much Johnny Walker Black this morning for breakfast.
See, when you get up early, you get all weird, man.
Well, you know, yeah, you get up early, and by noon, it's like, you know, been up 10 hours.
Power nap.
Like, you know, there are so many different ways, you know, set up a YouTube account. You can use those keywords that you so greatly use for your blog. You can use in your YouTube. I've noticed it on my own personal branding that a lot of my videos are slowly climbing the search engine ranks because of the tags and the different things. I mean, it's great. You know, something along the lines of video, and I just hooked it up yesterday, and I'm having a great time with it, Joel, is Skype.
Yeah, you said you just hooked up with that.
I just hooked up with it.
Yeah.
I'm learning more about it. It has to do with, you know, video and stuff, and it's telephone calls. I'm using it with some of my Canadian franchise clients. Saves us both on long-distance charges.
Plus, it's probably warmer.
Yeah, but it's great, you know, seeing somebody and talking with them as opposed to just being on the phone. I highly recommend it. I mean, it's a free service. You could even use, they have a pay-for service within Skype where you could use it as a phone as well, even to people that don't have it. You can get your own number assigned. You can get a number assigned to it so that it's not, you know, just coming up as, you know, an unidentified caller. And I highly recommend that if you're going to use it to use as your telephone.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a free voicemail feature. It's got a text feature within it. I highly recommend it. Skype.
It works in Texas?
Works everywhere. Works internationally.
Cool.
I was talking with somebody in India last night on it.
Does it sound like really weird? Like when I had the internet phone that I got rid of, the Vonage that I used for about 3 months until the drop calls became a higher number than the calls that was actually on.
No, the one thing that I found is if I have an external webcam that has a microphone on it,
mm-hmm.
and when I used that, it was a little bit echoey. But then I hooked up a microphone right into my computer. And as long as the microphone is close to me, I've been told the sound is great.
Really, 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 really,
yeah.
Really, 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 really. Yeah, I don't like those echoes.
Yeah, and so that might be a challenge, you know, if people've got a webcam on their computer without having an external microphone, it might sound a little bit echoey. But, you know, these microphones, I bought one at Walmart for $9, and it made all the difference in the world.
You shopped at Walmart? Dude, come on. That's wrong. I don't go to Walmart unless I have to.
You know,
I just won't, not unless I have to.
I would have nothing to blog about on a personal note if I didn't go to Walmart, because there's so many things there that tick me off.
I know. I'm telling you, man. Yeah, I know.
It's like in Walmart, since when did obese qualify you for a handicapped parking space?
Right.
And with the way America is going towards obesity, including myself.
Me too.
The entire parking lot at Walmart will be handicapped. Anyway, you know, Walmart... anyway, that's another story for another day. There's a lot of pros and cons about Walmart.
Yeah, I didn't want to get you all wired up, man. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Anyway, this microphone was like less than $10.
Good.
All right. Thou shalt create a video. Go out and create one. These webcams are real cheap. You know, don't care how you look. You've seen my videos. I got them posted on my blog right now.
Yeah, you don't look real good.
The only thing is, I got to make sure that I shave.
Yeah.
And you don't have to spend a lot of money doing it. These video cameras and webcams and all the tools with it are cheap. And comment. Comment on other people's videos. Joel, you never commented on any of my videos. How come?
I didn't think they were really worthy of a comment yet. I think you need to do about 40 more, and then I'll probably start commenting.
Okay.
I wanted to see if you're going to stick with it.
If I'm going to stick with it, huh?
Yeah, you got to do about 40 more, dude.
All right, I got 15 of them out there now.
All right, that's not bad. I think you need to be up 21 hours a day instead of 20, so you can do a couple more.
You know, along the lines of blogs, Joel, I often get asked, and I always refer people your way in this regard. If I'm starting a new blog, what platform should I use?
Depends on how techie you are and how much time you want to be messing with it. If you use WordPress.org, which is the number one blogging platform, you must get it hosted. And once you get it hosted, it definitely gets a little complicated on uploading and downloading and sideloading. I have a couple WordPress blogs that are dormant now. I'm getting some help building them because I use TypePad for everything because I can do everything myself. There's not as many plugins, but they're getting a lot better. And I can put up a new website for someone in like 45 minutes. So I can use it for a website or a blog whenever I want. They host it. It's just easier for me. I like working fast, hard, and quickly and efficiently. And with WordPress, for me anyway, there's just too much messing around. But it is a little more powerful platform.
That's WordPress, correct?
.org.
.com.
Right.
Okay.
It's good. I mean, it's really an unbelievable thousands and thousands of plugins and really great ones, but I just don't have the patience. And a lot of people that have WordPress blogs have people help them design it and maintain it.
Right.
Just depends
and
what you want.
You have TypePad, right? You have TypePad, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the other one, Blogger, which I think a lot of people that have personal blogs are on
there.
And
it's fine
for
that. Yeah, it's fine for that.
Right. All right. Well, Joel, you know, next week is a week from today, at the time we normally would broadcast, is Christmas Eve.
Yep.
And you and I have decided to just spend some time with the family and not broadcast that day. As well, the next week is on Thursday, is New Year's Eve, and we're going to do the same. So we're going to pick up on January 7th, on Thursday, January 7th, will be the next show of Franchise Today.
That's right. We will see you next year, folks.
That's it, next year. Joel, it is my pleasure to have you as a co-host on this show.
The pleasure is somewhat mine also. Thank you for asking me. I have a lot of fun, Paul.
Well, everybody, have yourself a great holiday season. Be safe. Stay close to family. But don't forget to do some planning for 2010. Doing so in the first quarter is too late. If you haven't already started to do it now. Joel, take care. Great holiday season to you and your family.
You too. See ya.
Bye-bye.